Brothers and sisters, I want to call on you this evening to go forward in faith, to go forward in faith, and to be bold and courageous in the work of the Lord, and to go out even this week in faith, even with an expectancy that the Lord will be at work. To go out to our mission field with confidence, with courage, that the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. In the words of Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, this evening I'm hoping to actually begin a whole series of studies in the book of Joshua. And I hope to share with the church here over the next few months the main central message of this wonderful book. But I believe it's so relevant for this week. If you try to sum up the central message of Joshua, it is have faith in the faithfulness of God. Have faith in the faithfulness of God. And like Joshua and the people of Israel, we are called to go forward trusting the Lord. Believe his promises. Obey his commandments. And brothers and sisters, act courageously. True and loyal to the Lord. And all of that is as a response to his great faithfulness. His unchanging faithfulness, his unchanging word, and all his promises to us. And the Lord is powerful to accomplish all he promises. That's the message of Joshua. Have faith in the faithfulness of the Lord. Now, of course, on the surface, something of an introduction. We know that the book of Joshua is about the historical account of Israel entering the land of Canaan, and how Joshua leads the people in battle to victory and conquest over the peoples already living there, the Canaanites and other people groups. And by the power of God, Israel secures some incredible victories, miraculous victories. The Lord caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. The Lord caused the sun to stand still. The Lord caused huge hailstones to fall on the enemy. Until over the course of a generation, Israel became established in the promised land. But below the surface, and looking deeper into what the scripture says beyond just the narrative of events, Joshua is about a lot more. It's about God's covenant with his people. It's about the Lord's faithfulness to his promises. The conquest was in part a fulfillment of the promises to Abraham and the other patriarchs. Joshua also teaches us about God's justice and his acts of judgment against evil. This will take some careful explanation when the time comes, but the conquest of Canaan was a holy war. It was an act of God. It was the forces of God and of light against forces of darkness and evil and nations who were given over to barbaric evil practices. Now that raises some challenging questions today, and critics will point to the book of Joshua and accuse Israel and even God of murder, even genocide. Well, we have to show why that's wrong. That's not the case. And how do we answer that? And of course, we're in a very different position as the church today. We're not fighting for an earthly kingdom. We don't fight in earthly ways. We're here using spiritual weapons to fight for the kingdom of heaven and to win and to save and to rescue people. So all of that we'll need to consider. But also, did you know that the book of Joshua has a lot to say about worship? It's got some profound things to say about worship. Just as much in the book is about worship, the public gathered worship of God's people, as it is about battles and conquest. There's many times, and in fact it's the main narrative actually, that you find God's people gathering together. They build memorials, they erect stones, so future generations will remember God's acts. So again, there's a lot here about passing on the faith to the next generation. And of course, Joshua is about holiness and the need to scrupulously keep God's word. Because what Israel is still learning, far more than dealing with the external threats and whatever outward challenges come, they have to learn how to live with the holy God who is in the midst of them. And that actually is the far bigger challenge. They must learn to walk with God. And when they do that and they trust him, then they prosper. And when they don't, and they break faith with him, well, then disaster happens. And of course, Joshua leads into the book of Judges. So it's also in part about the failures of God's people. Their failures to complete the conquest. Their failures to obey God. But above all, and for everyone here from Texas, you'll have to listen online. Above all, the book of Joshua is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the central character. And Joshua, he's a mighty man of God, but he's not the hero. The Lord is the hero of this book, as he saves his people. And of course, you'll know there's a very close relationship between the name Joshua and the name Jesus. That essentially, they mean the same thing. The Lord saves. And we do see in Joshua, as a great commander, we see some of the glory of the Lord Jesus shining through him. And we see something of Christ. But far more than that, we see the Lord himself with his people, saves his people. Well, this evening, that's something of an introduction, but I'd like us to really just focus on the first 9 verses of chapter 1. And again, I believe it's especially relevant to what we're doing here for the rest of this week. Now, the message of these first 9 verses is the good news that no matter what changes happen in life or what challenges we face, the Lord does not change. That's what this passage is telling us. No matter whatever else may change, the Lord your God never changes. You see, in chapter 1, we find God's people at a crossroads. And they're going through a time of huge transition. They've got this huge challenge ahead. And they're facing what could be the biggest crisis yet. Because we're told in verse 1, Moses has died. Now, I mean, imagine what a massive blow that would have been for Israel. Now, I like to kid myself sometimes and think if I suddenly was taken and wasn't here tomorrow, I'd be sorely missed. Hopefully I would. But nothing like this. This is Moses. I mean, this would have crushed the people's spirits. They would have just been reeling as a nation. I mean, Moses lived for over 120 years. All of Israel at this point has never known, not one of them has ever known a time without Moses. He was already 80 when he's called at the burning bush. And then for 40 years, well, God used him as the great deliverer. It's through Moses the plagues came down on Egypt. It's Moses who led them out, who guided them to use the Passover lamb and then led them out from Pharaoh. And then it's by Moses God brought water from the rock, manna from heaven. Moses was the mediator of their covenant as a nation with God. Moses went up to the top of Mount Sinai into the very glorious presence of God and was given, written by God's own hand, the Ten Commandments written on stone. And then came down and gave the people instructions for the tabernacle and the priesthood so that God would dwell among them. This Moses who's led them and brought them all this way to the promised land. I mean, Moses is like president, father, priest, protector. He's everything. And here's the thing. He's the link to God. for your average Israelite. And now he's gone. So without him, can you imagine what's going to happen now? What do we do? Is God still with us? Will the Lord just now leave us here on the border of Canaan? Is he still going to save us? Is he still going to help us? That's the uncertainty and the fear that the nation would have been going through. And then, of course, there's this challenge ahead of them. The wilderness journey's over. And they've got the Jordan River in front of them. That's the final barrier before Canaan. And they've got to cross over and conquer a whole nation and settle. They know that there are other peoples living there, people who've been there for a long time. They've got armies. They've got fortifications. They've got allies. Who's Israel? Former slaves who've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. No fixed abode, no trained standing armies, no great resources. I mean, humanly speaking, it's not possible. It's terrifying. Now, I can't imagine we will ever face personally challenges or changes as big as they faced as a nation in that moment. War and resettlement on that scale, but in your life today, as one of the Lord's people, there could come into your life a time of great change and uncertainty, when it seems like everything changes and the ground beneath you shifts and you don't know what's certain anymore. It could be when a loved one dies. It could be the loss of a job or a medical diagnosis. It could be the change of a pastor, as I gather you're going through in San Antonio. And there could be all kinds of challenges or changes that come that we just can't even expect. Well, brothers and sisters, the good news of the Word of God is that just as it was to Joshua and Israel, the Lord your God doesn't change. Hallelujah. He's faithful. Even if everything else changes, he never will. And he'll never let you down. Because verse 1 also says, not just that Moses died, but it came to pass the Lord spoke to Joshua. Now, don't miss how significant that is, how awesome that is, how wonderful that is. Moses, the mediator's gone, but the Lord is still with his people, and he's still speaking them. And Joshua's raised up to a different role than Moses, but nevertheless, God's going to raise up a leader for his people, and he's going to work through him. And this is Joshua's commissioning as a captain for God's people, a war leader. But the Lord is there. That's the great significance of it. Nothing's changed in terms of the Lord's plan and his commitment to his people. And then look at this. This is wonderful. This is a thread running all through these 9 verses. The Lord confirms all his promises are the same. And he reassures them he will keep everything he's promised, including the promise to give them the land of Canaan. If you look at verse 3, the Lord says, every place that the sole of Joshua's foot will tread, he will give to them. Now, our alarm bell should be going off there if we're students of Scripture, because it might not be as obvious in English as it is in the Hebrew, but there is unmistakably an echo there of the first promise that God ever gave to his people of salvation. What was that? Well, right after our fall into sin, and when man looks hopeless, and God promises a savior, and what's the promise? And he'll crush the devil's head under his heel, under his foot. There's an echo of that in the words that are here in this promise. God is going to continue to powerfully save his people, even in a small way through Joshua, that he's going to crush the devil and all the spiritual forces of evil under the feet of his people. The Lord will give power. And again, something we'll come back to, but the conquest of Canaan was a spiritual war. It's the same spiritual war we're engaged in today, although it looks so different. It's not really about the different ethnic groups. This was the forces of the kingdom of heaven assaulting demonic kingdoms of darkness. And by the power of God, he put it beneath his people's feet. And the same promise is given to us spiritually in Romans 16 and verse 20. It says there, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." It's the same echo. You see the thread of the promise? Slightly different words. And it's the same good news to us in the spiritual battles we face against the devil and his schemes, his lies, against false religion, against despair, against hate, against sin. God will subdue those things under his people's feet. His plans and purposes to save are the same. And then the Lord really makes the same point again in verse 6. When he says, "Joshua, you will divide this land as an inheritance, just as the Lord swore to their fathers to give them." So of course he's referring to Abraham and the patriarchs and to the promises a generation before in Egypt. That he's going to give them this land. And again, that is a precursor to the kingdom of God. You can think back to Genesis 12, to the promise to Abraham, their ancestor, that they would be God's special people, and through them, the Savior of the world would come. Now that promise to Abraham, that's over 400 years now, before Joshua. 400 years. I mean, if you go 400 years back from today, I don't think the United States was here, was it? Or I don't know. Or I think if for England, you'd back to the Civil War. And yet over such a long period of time, through all those generations, here comes the Lord saying, "My promises have not changed. My word is the same to those who trust in me." As he said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation." So imagine, though, here they were on this time of uncertainty and upheaval, and as probably well know, British society is going through a great time of upheaval and uncertainty right now. There's a lot of unrest. Where do we turn? This unchanging word. Everything God says he will do, and he keeps to his covenant, and he saves. And actually, we can say this. And I say this reverently, we can say this with greater confidence than Joshua could say these things. He could look back at 400 years. We can look back at a much longer track record of God keeping his promises. Well, we know that he kept his promise and he brought them into the land. And you don't need to turn there, but if you go to the very end of Joshua, to Joshua 21 and verse 45, this is almost the summary of the book. "Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." So we can look back at that and say, the Lord keeps his promises. But then we can go on and we could look at David and Solomon and then the prophets. And of course, the greatest promise that fulfills all of the promises, that he would give us a Savior. He's done. He's given us the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's reigning now in heaven. So we can look at all of this and have an even greater confidence in our God. It says in 2 Peter and chapter 1, "We have been given exceedingly great and precious promises." Saints, you have this week the promise that the Holy Spirit is with you, the Spirit of God. You have the promise that his word doesn't return void, that Christ saves when the truth is proclaimed. We have the promise that, well, that we are weak, but he is strong. And it's by these promises we've got to use our faith, and we fight the good fight every day. This is, you know, when you wake up first thing in the morning and your head is spinning and you're full of worries for the day and all the things that you've got to do and all the things that could go wrong. And there's many days when you're just overwhelmed and you wish you could crawl back under the covers. Well, how you find the courage to face the day is you remember these unchanging promises. You remember the faithfulness of God, promises to guide you, to give you courage and hope. And in response, like Joshua, we've got to have faith. He says, arise, get up, go, cross that Jordan. And the Lord hasn't explained everything yet about how, as we'll find out in later chapters, the waters are at a high mark at that season of the year. There is no way to cross. And the Lord hasn't told them yet how they're going to conquer all these impregnable fortresses. But he asked them to go forward in faith. Trust my word, go. And again, so much of the Christian life is like that, isn't it? The Lord's not going to tell you what happens next. He doesn't tell you about tomorrow or answer all your questions. But he says, rise up and follow me. There's a beautiful old hymn that I love to quote when this comes to mind. It says, I do not know the way I go, but oh, I know my guide. So again, we don't know what's going to happen. Let's go forward in faith. And the Lord tells Joshua that he's got to keep faith with God's word. He's got to be faithful. He says, don't deviate from all the commandments that he's been given. Verse 7. Be strong and courageous to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. It takes courage to obey God's word. It takes courage to be faithful and not to deviate. Could be you're in a conversation this week and somebody challenges you with something really difficult. Well, what about the Bible saying this or that? Or what about homosexuality and how you Christians say one thing and the world says another? All kinds of difficulty can come. And it's going to take courage in that moment to be faithful and say, no, this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. And that's what he was calling him to do. Have faith that my word is true. Stay true. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Then you may prosper. Prosper because God will be with him. And again, don't you find that actually half the battle of being a Christian is learning to be consistent? Just learning to walk the same walk every day because things are always changing. But learning every day to trust the Lord, every day to do his will and obey him. There's much more that could be said, but we can return to those things, God willing. Brothers and sisters, we're not gathered here. There's not some huge, impassable river in front of us or visible enemies. But we're called to arise and in faith follow the Lord and to courageously go forward. And whatever may come, whatever may change, the Lord does not change. His promises don't change. His covenant doesn't change. Believe it. Believe it and go forward.